is Matthew chapter 6. I trust you were in your Bibles this week. I trust you were in your Bible this morning. Anybody have a testimony to share what they read this morning? Anybody at all? Karen? Amen. Amen. James chapter 4. Anything in there? Let's see. Okay. Very good. Anybody else? Something you read and you're continuing therein. You're thinking about it. Christy?
I was reading in Psalms 119 and just the importance of God's word and having it hidden in the heart and ready to be meditated upon.
Amen. Amen. We ought to be in our Bibles and we ought to be able by 6:30 to be able to say as well, we ought to remember what we read, right? It ought to have an impact on us. Now, if you're like me, last week I was in the book of Revelations, and that was kind of a tough book. But been in the book of Matthew, and so, of course, then when the Lord laid upon my heart what I wanted to preach or what I should preach tonight. I was in it a little bit more, of course. But anyway, we ought to remember a few weeks ago, we taught a lesson on in order for spiritual growth, it's absolutely essential that we're in God's Word. It's absolutely essential that we're in God's Word for spiritual maturity. And also, it's essential that we're in God's Word for spiritual effectiveness, okay? So those three things. And we could go on. I'm sure you could come up with more things. If we want to be spiritually healthy, we need to be in God's Word. All right, how many of you remember what preacher, pastor taught on this morning? Somebody give me a little bit of what pastor's taught this morning. Okay, Samantha?
Well, I was in the nursery, so I didn't hear this message.
Okay. All right, very good. Now, I know it's difficult for us. If you're like me, my mind is pretty small, and I forget a lot of things. But when it comes to the Bible and our reading and listening to a message, we really need to give some thought to it, not just come and hear a message and then go home and, you know, we go on our way and do our own thing and we forget all about the message. I've been there, done that. I'm sure all of us have, right? And we do that with our Bible reading sometimes as well. And so we're not to be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word, right? And so it's helpful when we read our Bibles to have a notebook, write some key thoughts down there that we read about, maybe even some things that we need to work on. Right? If we're in our Bibles and we are thinking about it and studying it, you know, it'd probably be almost anybody could get up here and preach a message, couldn't they? For the most part. Now, there's some difficult passages that are very hard for us to interpret and so forth, and it might be difficult. But tonight, I'm going to take a very simple passage of Scripture here, and, you know, we can apply this to our life, and we should, okay? All right, let me encourage you. To be in your Bibles every day. Now, I know there's going to be some days where you may miss, or it's going to be very short and limited, but try to get something to take with you throughout the day and give thought to it, and it'll really, really help you spiritually. All right, this message I just titled God and Me, and let's start in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm just going to read down through verses 18. And the heading here says, teaching on giving. And then verses 5, it says, teachings on prayer. And then at the above verse 16, it says, teaching on fastings. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that all this is in red. So this is what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. And Matthew was written primarily to the Jews, but that doesn't mean that there isn't anything in here for us, right, as Gentiles. The Word of God, the Bible says, for all the Word of God is profitable, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly furnished. All right, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Notice it didn't say, if you do these, do alms. It says, when. So it's kind of presumed that this is something we would do. Okay? And also, notice their rewards. If we do it to be seen, there's a reward. What's that? Praise of man, right? But if we do it in secret, then what is a reward? Well, God will reward us or repay us. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word, and help me tonight. Father, help me to be emptied of myself and be filled with your Holy Spirit. Father, even as the Apostle Paul said, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that your word would go forth tonight, and I thank you and praise you for what you accomplish, and may you receive all the honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, there are those who love to minister publicly, and just so they can receive the praise of men. We like praise of men, don't we? I think that's kind of a normal thing for all of us. We want people to think well of us. But God sees the heart, doesn't he? And that's the most important thing. Man looketh on the outward, but God looketh on the heart. Our Lord Jesus prefers that we follow him privately, quietly, and drawing no attention to ourselves. Those who prefer attention, God calls hypocrites. Okay? So I have here just 3 points tonight. Secret sharing, verses 1 through 4. Alms is the giving of money food, or other help to the poor. You know, God commends this practice. But only when done privately. Not to win the applause of others. You know, I think it was common even for the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples to give to the poor. Remember when Jesus said to the disciples, one of you is going to betray me, and then He said to Judas, go and do what thou doest, something like that. And it says in John 13:24, and some of them thought because Judas had the bag of money, right, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast. Or they thought this, that he should give something to the poor. So you think it was a practice that they did? Probably was. It was a practice of Jesus and his disciples. I guess they might have had their money pooled together in some type of a sack or some type of a bag, as the scriptures say. And when Jesus said to Judas to go, some of the disciples thought, well, Jesus is just telling them to go buy food, or he's telling them to go get something or do something for the poor. It was an alms. If we read throughout Scripture, we are supposed to help the poor. Remember, it says here, not if you do this, but when you do this. You're to do it secretly. Not, I don't have a trumpet. I thought if Brother Jack was here, I'd have him come up here and blow his trumpet and say, hear ye, all right, here's Pastor Terry. He's got $100 to give to the poor. And, you know, God says if we do that just for the praise of man, then we have our reward, which is the praise of man. But we don't have a reward from God. Now, that tells me something. And I'm thankful for this. If we do that, or when we do that, and we do it secretly, God will reward us for that. Remember he said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. God will reward us if we secretly seek to help the down and outers. Now, here in America, we don't have a whole lot of that. If you're poor in the United States of America and don't have much to eat, you're pretty bad off. Because there's a lot of wealth here in the United States. There's a lot of food. But there are people, like where Becky Pope goes, who have very, very little. And we should be doing something for some of those people. Now, I've talked this over with some other people. My concern is this. There are organizations out there, but can you trust them? I do know this, and God spoke to my heart as I've read this myself. Becky knows of a missionary, I think in Honduras, think it is, where, and I know she gives to those, and it's for the children or something like that, and helping to feed them. And so God commends that, and he wants us to do that, and he wants us to do that secretly. God expects these things of us as Christians. Our love for the Lord ought to teach us to help others, ought to teach us to spend time with God in prayer, and it ought to teach us to bring our lives under His control. That's where the part of fasting comes in, and we'll get to that part. So let's go to the next part of Scripture there, the teaching on prayer. Let's talk about secret supplication. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Now we don't have... This is not a synagogue, this is a church. There may be, I don't know, some who will love to be called on to pray in church, but there's very little prayer in their life. That could very well be. You know, the Bible teaches us this, that we are to get alone with God. God and you, God and me, just get alone in our prayer closet, so to speak. And by the way, we can pray anywhere, can we not? But we shouldn't just go out in the street corner and maybe, and I'm sure like the Jewish people, I don't remember all the customs of that, but they had their different strings and all this on. And, you know, a lot of this, remember, they would do a lot of those types of things for show and even still do. But let's think about this practically for you and for I. And I'm not asking you this, but God's asking you this through His Word. Do you take time to get alone with God in prayer? Just you and Him. Do you have a prayer closet or a private place of prayer? It could be behind the wheel of your car. It could be in your bedroom. It could be in your office. It could be while you're on lunch break at work, maybe in your car or someplace like that. God's saying when you do this, so it's assumed that we do it. I have a couple subpoints under this. The pretense of prayer. Prayer that is meant to impress is fraudulent prayer. Again, God says they have the reward, which is the praise of man. It's not the help and praise of God. The place of prayer. Again, we can pray anywhere, but it's not for the praise of others. The point is God wants us to get alone with Him and pray. Okay, I covered some of that. The principle of prayer. We are not to use vain repetition. The practice of saying the same thing over and over again. Now, I'll be frank with you. I've been guilty of that. My son has even accused me of that at supper time. I just want to pray and eat. And Lord, thank you for this food. And thank you for my wife who made it. And thank you for a good day. Amen. And do that over and over. How many of you have been there, done that? Don't raise your hand, but you probably have. Now, I try harder not to do that. I try to remember if, somebody in the church has a need or something like that or something else, I try to remember those things in prayer. But you know what? God says not to use vain repetition. And sometimes we get in kind of a rut and we say the same things over and over and over again. That's not really good prayer, is it? We need to remember different people and spend time with God. Interesting enough, when I went to a Christian school, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, and I rode a bus, and on the bus there were children from another religion. And before they would get off the bus, you don't know who this is, but I don't mean to put anybody down, but they would say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And they would go through that every single time, and then they'd cross themselves, and then they would leave the bus. They get that right from this passage. And yet God says, use not vain repetition. Is that not vain repetition? It is. How about the pattern of prayer? Jesus didn't say pray these words, but in fact he said pray this way. When we pray, we should give attention to the Father's person, His purpose, His provision, His pardon, His pathway, His protection, His power, and His permanence. And I'm not going to go through all them, but you could find them in there. We won't take time to do that. Again, I'm not really for patterning our prayer. You know, we talked about the acts of prayer, the cats of prayer, you know, cats, confession, adoration, thanksgiving, and supplication. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, however you want to do it. But the point is this, you know, make sure you understand we're coming to our Heavenly Father. And I like to ask the Lord to search my heart now and see if there be any wicked way in me. And almost when I say that, I almost smile. Of course there's wicked ways in me. But I'm reminded that my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and I can't know it. And so I ask God to reveal sin in my heart. And I ask Him to search my heart. And sometimes I really know the areas that some of my weaknesses. But then I ask Him to speak to my heart as I read His Word. And as I read His Word, God may speak to me of an area in my life where I'm not really doing that I ought to be doing. Which leads me into the next one there. Verse 16, it says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Again, I'll be frank with you. I like to eat. Most people do. Just announce we're going to have food. And we like to show up for that, right? We like to eat. And to be honest with you, I need to do some more studying on fasting. It's not something I practice very often. In fact, I can only remember a few times that I have really fasted and prayed. But it says here, when ye fast. How about you? Have you fasted any time recently? Again, it's supposed to be between God and you alone. And He will reward that sacrifice. The Christian's duty is to do these things because we love the Lord and want His will, and not to gain the praise of man. Now, I skipped over a part. But look at verses 14 and 15. He talked about this in his sample prayer, if you will. In verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then in verse 14, he picks up on it. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." God puts a pretty high premium on us being forgiving of one another. Because the Bible does say offenses will come. We will offend each other. "If any offend not in word, same as a perfect man." And there aren't too many perfect men, are there? We offend. And we need to be forgiving. And if you're truly forgiven somebody, then I think it'll change your action and so forth toward them as well. And I don't know anybody in particular here, per se, that's not forgiven. But you know what? The Bible teaches us, and as we read that, we ought to be able to read that and say, "Lord, I've asked you to search my heart. And there's unforgiveness in my heart. I need to deal with that." That ought to be something then that we concentrate on throughout the day and think about. And not just think about it, but how am I going to change that? Well, I need to forgive. Doesn't mean I'll forget. Some things you can't forget, but it means I'll never bring it up to that person again, and I won't ever hold it against them again. It's forgiven. And by God's grace, I'll try to forget about it. And I'll treat that other person who wronged me, and they very may well have wronged you. Did we wrong the Lord Jesus Christ? We did. And yet He says He's forgiven us. And so, this is something we need to practice. This is a pretty simple message tonight, but I just want to remind you once again, we need to read our Bibles, give thought to what we've read, and then by God's grace, practice what we've just read and change our lives. If we'll do that, we will grow spiritually, we'll mature spiritually, and we'll be spiritually effective in our lives. I can honestly tell you, there's been times when I haven't read my Bible. But I can tell you this. I can show you my notebook. And this is not a boast. This is thanks to God. I can show you my notebook. And you can see when I've had my devotions and when I haven't. And I can tell you, I would not be ashamed. Listen. If this church, which means the people of this church, will understand the absolute essentialness of being in the Word of God on a daily basis, having time of prayer with God on a daily basis, and then trying to practice what you've read, by God's grace, it would revolutionize our church. I know it. Now, I'm thankful. I know many of you do that. And I praise God for that. But I don't know who does and who doesn't, per se. But usually, by the way, somebody said this, and I think it's a good practice, and I haven't started it yet because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but what if when we met each other, we would say this, Caleb, tell me a little bit about what you read in the Bible this morning. Now, you don't need to do that. But suppose I did that. Honey, what did you read this morning? What did God speak to you about? And she tells me, and then she would say to me, by the way, what did you read? And what did God speak to your heart about? Suppose we as a church practice that. I'd say it'd be a good practice, wouldn't it? Do you think it would help each other if we did that? Would anybody be ashamed? Say, well, boy, I wasn't in my Bible today. Well, we don't want to shame each other, but we want to encourage each other, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do so much the more as we see the day approaching? We exhort one another. Can I exhort you tonight to be in your Bibles every day? And by God's grace, as I'm up here right now, I'm thinking about this. I want to start practicing that. So be prepared. Because I'm going to ask some of you. And I want you to ask me. I want you to hold me accountable to that. I want you to be able to come to me anytime. And say, Pastor Terry, where are you reading right now? What did you read this morning? And what did God speak to your heart about? In fact, I want you to ask me. And I want to ask some of you. May I do that? Okay. Let's all practice that. Do you think that would change our church? I'm sure it would. Because not only are you going to have to read, unless you want to lie, you're going to have to remember what you read. And maybe what God has spoke to you. Now, I understand if I ask you that and you say, well, Pastor Terry, I was in the book of Lamentations this morning. Or Revelations. By the way, when I've read Revelations, I've read it through. And I've learned some things about it. But a lot of it was, unless you really get to studying it. But I can tell you some of what I read. There's seven churches in the book of Revelations, written to the seven angels, which are the pastors. And he had somewhat against them, the Church of Laodicea, which may be a church like the church age we live in today, where increase with goods and have need of nothing. Isn't that true? Let me ask you, what do you need tonight? Does anybody need a meal? Does anybody need something to put on? Clothing? I got more junk in my garage than I know what to do with. Listen, we've got a lot. We're increased with goods here in America. I'm just being honest. I really don't need anything. How about it? We come to Christmas time, and I'm done. I'm meddling here a little bit. We come to Christmas time, and we'll say, well, what would you like? I don't know. Give me some bag of licorice or something, or a bag of Tootsie Rolls. Why do we do that? Because there isn't anything we really need. Isn't that the truth? Is there anything you really, really need? What's that?
Training wheels.
Picking on David like that. Come on. Now, isn't it true, though? We've got so much, and we need to learn to be content with what we have. And God is good to us. So let's have a devotion time with God every day. Listen, you may miss a day from time to time. Don't be discouraged. If you did miss it in the morning, at least read before you go to bed. Have your Bible right on your nightstand. Take some time to read. And if you miss a day, get back and do it the next day. But be in the Word of God. It's so very, very important. And I challenge you to do that. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your Word tonight. Help us to consider the poor and giving to those that have need. Father, here in America, we are so blessed. Even as Becky Pope asked for glasses to give to people who have no glasses, some of us have. I remember at times I've had 5 or 6 pairs of glasses in my drawers. And so, Father, help us to be willing to give and do it secretly. Help us to get into our prayer closet each and every day, wherever that might be, and pray to the God of heaven in secret, who will reward us openly. You are a God that hears and answers prayer. And then, Father, there'll be times where we may have to fast, maybe to break the bond of sin in our own lives. Help us to do that, but Father, may nobody but you and us alone know when we're doing that. We don't need to sound a trumpet just for the praise of man. If we do that, we have our reward. But Father, we want the reward that comes from you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I love you and I love your word and thank you for it tonight. May you use this message and this challenge to encourage us to move forward in our Christian lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Bob.